Our last talk of this morning, Ken Woolworth is going to be speaking on introducing the Grand Canyon. And we are right on time, so we're going to start right now. Yeah, thank you.
Occasionally use the pointer, so I'm going to just on the screen, so I'm just going to position that a little bit. So if I turn around, my soundness will come through. We really appreciate the opportunity to be here bringing you this book, The Grand Canyon Monument to an Ancient Earth. You will notice in the abstract, it was written by Steve Moser. Steve is on the Executive Council of ASA and had surgery about a month ago. And when he told me that his doctor said he wouldn't be able to travel out here, my wife and I knew intuitively and very quickly that I would be here as a substitute. So here I am. The book has been a long time in the making, as I will be describing. Kriegel is our publisher, and we of Solid Rock Lectures go out to seminaries and churches to give workshops about the geology of God's creation. And so this book about the Grand Canyon fit in just perfectly with that part of our mission. The flood geology and recent creation community has put a lot of books out about the Grand Canyon, and here are a number of those titles. Now, I will be showing an example or two of this one as I step through the talk. The other ones I have not spent as much time with, but I'll give you an example. That one that I've just put my pointer on is one that has been sold in the Grand Canyon for about 10 years. So these books have been at least in the church community for 10, 15 years. I'm not quite sure the ages of some of the, how old the earlier ones were. This book was strongly resisted by the geoscience community because as they saw it, they recognized that it was not really a science book, but it was primarily a faith book. So they did appeal to the National Park Service to at least transition this book or move this book from the science section over to a faith section in the Grand Canyon. It's part of what happened there, and that those events were about 10 years ago. I understand it was basically kind of lived its life, or it's been removed from the Grand Canyon bookstore now about 2 years ago. If you're out at the Grand Canyon, you may see vehicles such as this. They do trips on at the rim of the canyon with this motto, A Different View, because the title of that book was The Grand Canyon, A Different View. And in this case, Tim Hebel was out there as we were doing the book signing that I will talk about toward the end of the talk. And at the book signing, as he was traveling the next day, he had a picture taken of himself there by one of those vehicles. Now, I'm going to ask Tim to stand, please, so that you recognize him. So please stand up and turn around one circle. And the reason I did that is because I don't even know the number of hours or months or even maybe 2 years. Maybe he doesn't know, maybe nobody knows, but he is the person that has made this book possible in the sense that he found virtually all of these photographs. So it was an incredible effort for which I want to make sure that I've given this public praise. You can also see that here are a group rafting down through the river. Canyon Ministries has been in operation also for some number of years, and they do take theologians through the canyon on what I understand are essentially free trips, and they will not permit Steve Moser on your executive council to come along on those particular trips where the theologians are on those trips. One of those interesting things about the flood geology community. Well, here's the lady that got the whole thing started in terms of a book. This is Carol Hill. My picture with her holding it as we were out for a book signing here a couple of weeks ago. Carol has been a longtime worker in the canyon and in limestone rocks in southeastern New Mexico, and each time she would hear about the agonizing description of geology that the flood geology community was sharing with the church, she just was in agony. She went to Christian publishers some years ago and tried to get some interest without success. Then about 6 years ago, she connected with Tim Hebel and Steve Moser, and they began to talk about sort of a book about the Grand Canyon. And that was about the time window when the Lord was drawing myself and Greg Davidson to bring workshops to seminaries. So when we began to get talking together, then the pieces began to get put into place that we could produce the book. So it's been 6 years of effort, and I will be showing you an example or two of some quotes that now for all of us make it worthwhile. The authors were selected primarily for their technical expertise in subdisciplines. So our first choice was to have Christians involved because that's our motivation. The book is written. Eight of us are evangelicals of the 11 co-authors that are in the book. And Carol plus Wayne Ranney, and I know Steve Moser and Dave Elliott all have a long time connection of studying the Grand Canyon. We've received, as you heard over this conference, we've received some funding from ASA, from BioLogos. We're very thankful that we're endorsed now, and it's sold on the Reasons to Believe bookstore, and they accepted it, for which we're very pleased. And to get further copies, it's easily to find it on Amazon and Kriegel's website. Endorsements we have from scholars, including Jack Collins at Covenant Seminary, Paul Copan at Palm Beach Atlantic University, Wayne Grudem, Phoenix Seminary, and Kenneth Keithley, who's with Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We also recognized that we wanted to put this book in the Grand Canyon bookstore, so we recognized we also needed geological endorsers. So for these folks, we've been blessed with John Geisman, who's a past president of the Geological Society of America. David Montgomery is at the University of Washington, has written a book called The Rocks Don't Lie. So here's a sec, and the subtitle is A Geologist Investigates Noah's Flood. And so he's not a believer, but he was prompted to sort of put out a very nice record of just a geologist looking at the various flood stories from around the world. And that's a very delightful read. John Warmy is a professor emeritus at Colorado School of Mines. And just as I've been thinking about the fact that we will be at Colorado School of Mines next year, I'm going to put out some overtures to John Warmy if he might not be able to join us there, depending on his health circumstances at that point. And then the other geologist is our own evangelical geologist, Davis Young, who did most of his career in geology at Calvin College. The book is put together in about five broad parts, and this first one makes a comparison of the views between flood geology and modern geology. So chapter two, we give a description of what flood geology is about, and then chapter three, we talk about the time frame of flood geology, and then in chapter four, we talk about the time frame of modern geology. So there's two with what is flood geology, and the two parts of the slides there have flood geology and modern geology, and it compares features of the two right side by side. The time frame of flood geology is described, and in this diagram of the sedimentary section of the Grand Canyon plus the sediments on to the north into Utah. So this is basically the Grand Canyon area to about that point. And then these are the sediments that go on up to Zion Canyon and Bryce Canyon, sort of up there to the north. So we put the whole context, and this page in the book describes sort of the flood geology context as the flood geology community makes their interpretation. We do a time frame of modern geology, which demonstrates our conviction that the rocks in the Grand Canyon themselves are Paleozoic, meaning older rocks, pre-Mesozoic, which are the age of the dinosaurs. And so we step through those and elaborate on those. We have series of figures like this, seek to demonstrate different processes that have taken place through the geologic history of the Grand Canyon. Abundant photographs, and as I mentioned, Tim finding so many of these. I didn't mention he found one from a photographer in Iceland. He found a museum artwork from Hungary. And I don't know how he found it, but he found it. So as I was paying the royalties for some of these, I was sending wire transfers. One wire went to a Swiss bank for one of the photographers, and of course the one went over there to Hungary. But that's just part of what we have to have this spectacular book that's, that the Lord has given us the chance to pull together. So there's an example of geology of some metamorphic rocks and some igneous rocks that have intruded into those, which gives us the opportunity to see a sequence of timing, and we describe that process of understanding geologic time. So here, part two then is how geology works, and we focused in on sedimentary rocks, the types of structures we find in sedimentary rocks, and then how we understand the passage of time in a relative way by putting the puzzle together of what happened first and what happened later to build a particular geological setting. So here, chapter five is the rock types and how they form in different environments of deposition. There's an example of structures like the mud cracks in that upper right of this slide. And how do we use the present processes that we see to understand things that have happened in the past? And that's what we develop as we step through the book. Solving puzzles is a matter of seeing what happened first, what happened successively later. So in this diagram, the earliest sediments are, of course, on top, and then from the way the intrusions have occurred of igneous rocks, it helps us put a sequence from the earliest sedimentation until the sediments that are on top, and then eventually carving the Grand Canyon down into the sediments and even down into the metamorphic basement rocks. This is the chapter that was done by Roger Weens, who you've heard at this meeting as a plenary session. And as was mentioned, Roger's basically electronic chapter on a Christian view of radiometric dating is the most downloaded of all those on the ASA website. And here I'll also use the example of how do we describe to the reader those components of flood geology and recent earth where we want to raise and clarify the problem areas. And here's a good example. In the upper left of this, in that box, which is shaded gray, there's a photograph of a diagram there of a molten earth, and then words that describe that situation. If all the radioactive decay that's happened over the last 4.5 billion years of the age of the earth were squashed into basically the last 1,500 years or the last several thousand years, primarily starting at the flood, as the flood geology community identifies it 4,300 years ago, the surface of the earth would be molten because of all the heat generated. It isn't molten because heat keeps escaping in the interior part of the earth is partial of its heat source is because of radioactive decay. So there's an example of how we try to handle those. We talk about methods that we can use to identify the fact that between some layers of rocks, we can identify the fact that there's a passage of time. So for example, in the Red Wall Limestone, there are deep river cuts because that land surface at a point in time in the past was exposed to erosion, and rivers cut down into it, and then it's later filled up, and then more sediments deposited on top. We step through those things in the book. Chapter 11 is where my name finally shows up. Brian Tapp is the first author, and he is a structural geology expert. And so we have the chapter on plate tectonics that you can read to expand on what Davis Young presented the other day in his talk about 75 years of geology. Our second chapter that Brian and I did together is talking about the rocks that are fractured and bent and folded. I'll use this as an example of the way the flood geology community represents some things in the book. So I'm going to have now a quote from that top to the right Grand Canyon book that I pointed out as I started the talk, and here's a quotation. Thick sequences of sedimentary layers as seen in the Tapete sandstone, the lowest of the flood deposited layers, are found that have been folded while still soft soon after deposition, indicative of all the deposition and the upheaval responsible for folding being one event. Now, if you take soft ice cream or soft yogurt like we had for our nice desserts over in the cafeteria, lunchroom, and if you put a white layer of, and then another layer of chocolate colored layer on top of it, and if you squeeze that, it's gonna mush up and squeeze and squirt. But in fact, the sediments down there in the Tapete sandstone, that fold that is in the book and is on that chapter, on that page, in fact, are loaded full of fractures. And Brian Tapp drew these black lines to identify the fact that the fractures that are demonstrating that rock was hard and brittle at the time it was folded. So that's one of the examples that we have then in one of those gray shaded blocks as to identify the problem areas of flood geology concepts. We have several chapters on fossils that are found in the canyon. There's a record of the animal fossils by one author, a record of plant fossils by another, and then trace fossils that are tracks that are observed in the surfaces of rocks by an expert in tracks, Dave Elliott, who is one of the Colorado and the Grand Canyon study area people who is a professor at Northern Arizona University right there in Flagstaff. The next section, we talk about how the Grand Canyon was carved, and we talked about the timing earlier, but now it's in the context of sort of describing the sequence. So we have a reference to how old the canyon is. Joel Duff, one of our speakers with Solid Rock Lectures, talks about life in the canyon and pack rats and pollen and things like that that have been observed in the canyon sediments. Part five then is a verdict of our interpretation of the Grand Canyon. Chapter 19 is basically a description that if you were down at the river and you walked up the Bright Angel Trail, what would you see? So it's one of our longer chapters. We're asking, and I think Kriegel will pick up on this, that we'll prepare a short booklet that could be used and maybe sold at the bookstore also, that people could use as they walk up the canyon for those people who make the choice to walk down and come back up. Then the final chapter is basically looking at modern science, geology as we as Christians understand it, and flood geology is promoted by our Christian brothers of the Young Earth and Recent and flood geology community. We were careful to make sure we referenced things. We elected not to put numbers of references through the whole text because we wanted a text that was very easy to read by the masses of people. So we put our references in the back, referencing to the page, so the flood geology material is referenced there adequately so that we can, to demonstrate that yes, in fact, we've read their material and that we've done our very best to describe it correctly. Go, buddy. There it went. Okay. Now, this is one of the reviews that was actually written by Scott Buchanan, who's right here at the meeting. And he prepared it. He writes that blog, Letters to Creationists. And this paragraph caught my attention. The book provides an accessible explanation of how rocks and rock layers have formed over time. Roughly half the volume is devoted to this tutorial, which is understandable by practically anyone who can read. I think that's clear. So it's good for the high school junior seniors who are homeschooled that are on their way out to university. Here's the next sentence. This is one of the best introductions to geology I have ever seen. This section alone would make this book a worthwhile purchase even if one had little interest in creationism. So I thanked Scott before, and if he happens to be here, I'll thank him publicly in this way, that we appreciate that. Because Carol Hill had initially connected with Wayne Ranney, who has his own books in the Grand Canyon bookstore, we were able to get it approved, or I should say Wayne and Carol were able to get it approved by the Grand Canyon National Park, which now, probably because of that Grand Canyon, a different view book, but the park must approve any book that is going into the bookstore. So that was accomplished a couple of months ago. So we contacted the Grand Canyon Association, that is the volunteer organization that guides and handles all of the bookstores in the canyon, and I understand there are about 8. But we went, we had Memorial Day weekend, we had a book signing at the primary bookstore right there by the visitor center. So there's a photograph. I'm there, Carol's there, Greg Davidson's sitting. And then I knew nothing about signing books. This was all new to me. But Wayne Ranney had years of experience. So he made sure he had about six cases of books. And so he opened up one of the cases and he said, okay, Ken, start signing. And once you're done signing, pass it on to Carol. And once she's done, pass it on to Tim, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the result is that now inside the bookstore, there are stacks of our book that have that gold sticker on them. That means the authors have signed it. And it felt like, I think I went through about 6 packs of those silver marker pens, because those silver do not last very long. There's a picture of Greg Davidson. He was our lead technical editor. The God-sidence timing, I can't even talk about adequately, but I'll say one point. God gave Greg Davidson the opportunity for a sabbatical right in the middle of doing the book. And you can imagine basically 11 academics writing a book about the Grand Canyon and submitting it together to try to get one story to flow through the book, which we needed. Well, this man tore his hair out, I would say, dismantling chapters and putting them back together and leaving things out and putting things in. So he is really responsible for this incredible smooth flow of the book as you read it. And his sabbatical was a key part of that opportunity. This one made Carol and Alan Hill, Alan's her husband, Carol Hill, cry. This book beautifully, graciously, and thoroughly confirmed that the Earth actually is old, very old. It offers grace, tact, and kindness toward people trapped in the young Earth idea marketed by flood geologists. I am so grateful to the authors for writing this book. This was posted, not solicited, this is posted on Amazon, and I found it. So we are thankful. We see it as a God's project, not ours, and appreciate the opportunity to bring it to the church community. So as you go out and you know folks that are trapped in the young Earth idea, you can tell them that this book is written for them, by eight evangelicals whose heart is burdened for the witness of the church. I'm willing to talk to people. I accept emails, often on Facebook. I give my phone number, which sort of is kind of a no-no, but I guess I'm kind of crazy. There's another area where I really am crazy. I'm really trying to get into John MacArthur's office. Can you believe that? I can't quite believe it. I actually have a call, a voice message on two of his staff pastors. He's out of town. So that if one of them calls back this afternoon, I'm here through tomorrow and I will go sit down and visit with him. So who knows? Mostly we appreciate your prayers. The church, as you know, is tangled in this in an awkward way. And my wife and I walked over to the Geology Museum after the book signing, and there a lady who is there every day and watches the Young Earth speakers, the flood geology speakers, come through with their groups. And she basically said at the end of our conversation, Christianity is bloodied by this material here at the Grand Canyon. So that's agonizing because they have really taken this whole thing public in a public way. And an editor of our Tulsa World magazine, newspaper, interviewed me for a couple of hours, and I'd never expected these words as the lead of the name of the article, but he put in a great divide. Grand Canyon is a battlefield in the age of earth dispute. And so we as Christians in the sciences and those of us involved with the book are doing what we can to have, as Biologos describes so poignantly, a gracious dialogue with the folks that have other views to help them understand the context of the witness of the church. Thank you. I have five copies left if anybody wants, and I even have a credit card swing. But that's not primarily the point. Thank you.
Let's take a few questions. Yes.
So three of the 11 authors are not Christians.
That's correct.
What do they think of the final product?
They're all also very, very pleased. I sat down with a gentleman in Tulsa because he grew up in a Baptist church and he's pushed off. You know, faith in him is clearly on the side right now. He's going to see. But this is open opportunities for me to talk. Wayne Randy engages people on a fairly regular basis, and so he's willing to participate. Graciously. Obviously, they had to agree to come with us, okay? The one gentleman told me he has more of a Richard Dawkins overall viewpoint. So if you talk to people, just be careful to say that most of the authors are Christians, but don't identify it as that all the authors are Christians. That would not be appropriate. But they obviously agreed to participate with us.
I was rather shocked that flood geology book was sold at the Grand Canyon bookstore, especially if the National Park Service has to approve that sort of thing, given that flood geology is not widely held in the geology community.
I don't know how that got in. Tim, can you say anything about that?
It was the Grand Canyon Association is a organization that operates the bookstore, so they're not run by the federal government. So they're the ones at that time they're making the decisions on what books are there, what aren't. Now it's a little different. Like Kim was saying, that the Park Service has to say when books are sold in the store. I thought it was kind of funny though. The place where the new book was sold was just one shelf above where ours is.
Probably time for one or two more questions.
Yes, please. Oh, Scott, you are here.
Do you want to comment on potential plans for getting this group out to seminaries?
Yes, thank you. Kriegel is very gracious, and they have done a couple of things. They're doing a Twitter campaign over a couple of weeks of the ARC encounter, and I'm not sure how far, a couple of months, they said. Number two, they've identified a media person, so the media person is reaching out to Christian radio stations across the country. So if you have a known local Christian radio station, email it to me and I'll get it on to that media person. And we've had so far three of those. And in fact, Steve Moser was on Friday afternoon with a Chicago station. So those are the two couple. We in the author group, being geologists, we are going to reach out directly to the geological associations, such as the Geological Society of America, the American Geophysical Union, the Society of Exploration Geophysicists, and the American Association of Petroleum Geologists, seeking to get an article in each of their news magazines that they can say, oh, this book is written for those masses that are trapped in the Arctic material. Now, Scott's wife walked up to me the other day and put the context in, shouldn't we try to be getting this into the hands of pastors, to homeschooling co-ops, to libraries, and sort of group types of things like that to get it out. And so that idea is in its infancy. We as the author group won't be able to pursue that sort of at any time soon, so anybody that has an interest, I'll say contact Scott and his wife Grace and get some ideas together. Solid Rock Lectures is a nonprofit organization, so we can accept financial contribution that would be tax deductible and then pay whomever the sort of the project might select to find the addresses and ship things out. So we have that might be ASA, I do not know. We just got talking about this just yesterday, so we don't know where that may go. If it fits ASA, we'd be thrilled. To whatever extent Solid Rock Lectures needs to sort of help facilitate, we're ready to help. And people will come up with other ideas also.
All right,
I'm going to say, the Lord gave me absolutely crazy prayer. And this is really crazy. Somehow he hit me about a month ago that I'm praying this book will sell a million copies. Now that is crazy.
On that thought, we're going to close our time here this morning. Thank all of our speakers this morning.